You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Every week, win, lose or draw, talking all things United. This is the United People's Podcast.
Yes, ladies and gents, how are we doing? Sam here, United People's Podcast. And I tell you what, we've got a cracker of a podcast for you after a, I would say, a cracking performance. Goal of the season, I think we can say that pretty much. Wrap that up now. Garnacho, it's me, it's Alex, it's Chris and it's Jake. Alex and Chris getting ready to fly to Turkey in the AM. And off the back of a win, man, we're going to win the Champions League now. Obviously, we're going to win. No, probably not. But look, we'll speak about the game. We'll speak about Garnacho, Mainoo, Shaw's return, Onana, 2 points off Spurs, 4 points off top four, 6 points off the top, 15 points from our last 18. It's not bad. That's not bad. Alex, talk to me, right? What you and Chris got packed apart from absolutely nothing?
A passport, spare pants. A few leftover Turkish lira from 2016. It looks like they were dug up from fucking 1916 when I pulled them out of my bedside drawer. They're in an absolute sorry state. But yeah, it's just about enough for about 3 pints. I think it's like 1,000 Turkish lira. The exchange rate is ridiculous. But yeah, pretty pumped about it. I'm straight to bed after this podcast, I think. Up at 3:15, half past three.
Jake is sitting there with like the sourest face. He's like of all the
that's
recent
why I've got
trips,
my hand
like,
over my face.
Yeah, he's like, he's basically crying. He's like, this is the one that's hurting you, the fact that you can't go on it.
It's the only one that, because Istanbul was so good last time. So when the draw got made.
Wow, debatable.
Well, some of us don't get that next day regret as badly as others, obviously. But no, just as a trip, like the actual football part, like I couldn't be bothered to go to the actual game again because it was the most rancid part, the getting into the ground hours and hours before.
Was that the one with a hole in the wall?
Yeah, that little tiny hole in the wall.
That was unbelievable. That fan experience at Fenerbahce was must be the worst I've ever experienced, I would say.
The thing that surprised me the most about that is we got in the ground, an hour or two before, and we started singing, and then there was all this whistling. I was like, hang on a minute. Yeah. And they're pumping whistling through the speakers. The whole thing's fake.
Which is against the FIFA regulations or whatever it is, UEFA regulations. But yeah. But yeah, that concourse with like 2,000 people on it and one tiny little exit door through breeze blocks. I mean, like, if there was any sort of disaster there, you'd have no chance of getting out. It was fucking ridiculous. And then it just spilled out onto literally a motorway, like an 8-lane motorway. Well,
it's worse when, like, so we had to be in there 2 hours before. We had to go through those little cages. And then, like, we actually came out after the players. So they'd had chance to get in the changing room, shower, do the media, and leave the ground before we'd been picked up at the side of the road. And then you had a real choice then, didn't you? Like when you got back to the hotel, you either got something to eat or you had to keep drinking. There was no way you were doing both because it isn't human to do that. So it was like, it took you three or four beers to even kind of get back to a level. And by that time, it's 5 o'clock in the morning.
It's round two.
We're not doing our Euroway stories on this pod, I don't think, are we, Sam? But
we'll keep them.
The lead up to that game with the best flight ever, one of the very last British Airways economy flights with free alcohol that we just took massive advantage of and took the absolute piss.
You're probably the reason why it doesn't exist.
And then deciding to take that fucking pre-approved transport to the ground when Senor had a meltdown on the on the bus, started shouting at people to fucking sing.
If you're listening, Senor,
getting there two hours early, and everyone just sobering up into the lead up of the game, watching us be awful, and then get stuck in there for an hour afterwards, and then playing chicken with cars going 100 mile an hour afterwards. Yeah,
we'd,
horrendous.
We'd actually read the letter that said you cannot bring alcohol onto this bus. So obviously, because we're super clever, we just stopped in the shop, Coke bottle half empty, vodka in it, and such. They let you on the bus, perfect, and all these lads were getting their Stellas and their whatever the Turkish beer is, getting taken off them at the bus. And yeah, good times. Going across rookies there, though, at night, that bridge at night was unreal.
And then was it like a week later that the bombing happened at the Besiktas Stadium?
Yeah.
Or the shooting? Was it a shooting or a bombing?
I think it was a bombing.
That's right around the corner from our hotel, isn't it? The Bosworth Hotel.
I hope you checked yourself in on Facebook after.
Yeah, make sure you did. I want to make sure you're staying.
I forgot. I think I should. I'm going to do it now.
But look, right, finally, you know, well, I say finally, United got 15 points in the last 18 in the league, right? But no one would really have said that we've been playing well. And Everton, the Goodison Park, it felt like just bad luck for United that we were the first team to go there after that 10-point deduction. They're all feeling that the world's against Everton. And normally after United come back from an international break, we're a little bit slow, a little bit slow to get back into a sort of rhythm. And that was the best, probably overall performance of the season. But that goal itself, boy... I mean, that is goal of the season, right? There is surely not going to be anything that beats that. The technique, just everything about it was perfection.
The audacity of it.
The audacity of it.
To be running back, like, he must have ran back 10 yards to get it and then just to decide, right, fuck it, I'm having this. Yeah, I'm trying to think back because, you know me, I might be prone to the occasional bit of... exaggeration every once in a while, but I'm looking back through all the great United goals. Like, there aren't many that I'd put over that one.
Oh, I'm trying to think of what I would. Ronaldo's against Arsenal.
I'm partial to like our great counter attack goals against Arsenal during like the Park and Nani Rooney Ronaldo era. I'm really partial to that
one with
that
Ronaldo
sort of goal.
Backheeled it to Park.
Yeah, I love those goals. Those, and in terms of like pure just excitement and just. You can see it unfolding and how brilliant it was.
But. Yeah, like in terms of like individual technique.
The Ronaldo free kick against Portsmouth is one I keep going back to because of how unique it was.
But I don't think like with that, you've got a standing ball. And
yeah,
like,
I know.
I think in the way that Ronaldo hits his, Garnacho probably, again, without a goalkeeper necessarily, but Garnacho probably scores more times than Ronaldo does in that sense because of the way that he has to hit the ball and get it into the postage stamp. Whereas like Garnacho, often the goalkeeper is not even going to think that you're going to try that. So his positioning he's not even thinking about that. He's thinking like, just get back in towards the center of the goal. And by the time he's stepped to the right, it's gone past him. Well, what the hell has gone on there?
I think Gary Neville said it was the best overhead kick he's ever seen. And there's only a few that I can really remember.
In the Premier League,
it was in the Premier League.
Is that what he said? Because obviously Gareth Bale had an amazing one, and Ronaldo did. Was that in like consecutive Champions League finals, or was one of them in the semi-finals?
No, Ronaldo was away at Juve, I think.
Yeah, his was away in Juve. Bale's was Champions League final.
But yeah, the final against Liverpool.
To do that in a Champions League final, I think you have to put that above anything else. But
yeah.
And then obviously you go Trevor Sinclair, but his was
do you remember the Rivaldo one? The Rivaldo one that was part of that hat-trick he scored. That was
did he chest it up or something?
He flicked up for himself. That was a banger. That's right up
what
there.
About the Zlatan one versus England?
That's ludicrous.
I mean, that was from like 40 yards, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's fucking right up there.
the only thing with that is that, and please don't think I'm demeaning it by any opportunity.
You're about there to is demean
no,
it right now.
Well, there's no goalkeeper. So, like, as long as he gets on touch,
I can't believe you're demeaning it.
I'm not in a sense.
So, what you're saying is you hate that goal and you think it was a shit goal.
That's what I heard as well. That's what I heard.
Yeah. All right. Then we'll go for it. But no, it's the thing is, as soon as it kind of comes out of your mouth to kind of say that, you know what people are going to say. But, like, his is Garnacho could have hit it almost straight at Pickford yesterday and we'd have just forgotten about it. Oh, like, great attempt or whatever. But the fact that he finds the place that he does. Yeah.
Yeah, it's outrageous.
Football's got me so like mentally damaged that I didn't actually see that fucking goal live. I was really pissed off. I missed it. It took me like 40 minutes to drive 2 fucking miles home from the soft play that I was at because London's roads were absolutely buggered. So I was listening to it on the radio. And like the way the commentary made out was that it was the greatest goal ever scored. And I was just, I felt so like, aggrieved that I'd missed it. But if I'd watched it live, the first thing I'd have thought was, this is going to get disallowed here for some fucking reason.
not one part of my mind actually thought about VAR. It was like, that you can't, it was just a cross and an overhead.
High foot, blatant high foot.
There's nothing that can possibly get in the way of that.
My thoughts were, I am so glad Peter Drury is not commentating on this.
Oh, he had an absolute mare. Have you seen the commentary? He wasn't ready for it. He's like trying to come up with some convoluted nonsense and he just couldn't. He was like, how has he done that?
Yeah, but that's commentary.
You just see him. He's got his fucking thesaurus out. He's like, you know.
Jake, you've ruined football for me now. Like, I can't look at 20 minutes without thinking of you. I can't now listen to Peter Drury because of you.
I mean, that's because I'm old and depressed, but it's more like because I'm more disconnected to football at that level than I think I've ever been, I see things a lot more kind of black and white. I don't kind of get buy into it. And I think, like we said before, Peter Drury is a complete Twitter commentator. So like if you get shown a clip at 30 seconds, 40 seconds, then you go, oh, mate, that was mint. And I think someone shared one that way, basically did a commentary between Barcelona and Roma and it was spot on. And it was like, that was the moment he became worldwide known.
It was,
and now he just talks in
like
riddles
the,
all the time. But the 20-minute thing, obviously, we score after 3 minutes, we win the game, Sam.
So. Wait, look at that early goal, and it was that early goal which kind of burst Everton's bubble. For the first 20 in that game, we were great, and it's mad, really. And I know Garnacho got man of the match, but I think Kobbie Mainoo, Garnacho will take the headlines, but I think Mainoo, for me, sort of took the spotlight. Like, in a game where... Look, every Ten Hag could have played Amrabat, and it would have probably been a safer bet from an experience perspective, Chris. But Mainoo came in and just looked. I think the biggest compliment I've been giving him is that he just looked completely comfortable, completely. And it's the simple things, right? But it's the simple things that we've been starved of from seeing from a midfielder, just finding the easy pass, always making yourself available, nice knocking it about. Doesn't always have to be Hollywood. And Mainoo he looked like the real deal.
Yeah, I can't really remember a more competent debut in midfield. He was all over the place, clearing the ball off the line, all over the pitch. He looked like he'd been in the team for years. And it's probably a good thing that he didn't get man of the match, isn't on the front page, because hopefully he can fill that role again over the next couple of weeks.
Well do you think, what a week to, I suppose, introduce him to the United's first team. Like, away at Goodison Park, and it was going to be a tough game, and he was a massive reason why we controlled large parts. We didn't control all of it. I think after we scored, from about the 20th minute mark to probably the penalty, Everton probably should have equalised, or maybe even scored two. But do you start Mainoo away at Galatasaray now? Because, I mean, surely that's a different kettle of fish, but the way he played kind of showed that do you think he'll be able to, he will be equally as confident and competent away at Galatasaray?
Well, the rest of the team have shat their pants, haven't they, in hostile atmospheres. So why not start
they've
and
shat their pants
off
everywhere
that?
They've gone, not just in hostile atmospheres.
No, but particularly in hostile atmospheres. He was brought off on, what, 70 minutes?
Yeah.
I'll be shitting my pants this time tomorrow, probably.
He was brought off on about 70 minutes, wasn't he? Was that with an eye on, maybe he can play midweek? I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if he's on the bench, but I'd like to see him start.
Jake, do you reckon he's starting?
No, I think he might go with Amrabat as a safer option. But obviously, like, if he does, there's no kind of downside to it. Yes, he hasn't got the experience.
I mean, surely of the two games, if you were to choose, say United could only have won one of them, would you rather United have lost to Everton and beat Galatasaray? Would you say, what was the biggest game this week, do you think, for United? Do you think that going through in the Champions League is massive for us? I don't really think it's as massive for our season as...
I think league games are bigger.
I think the league games are bigger. And he started playing.
Especially the predicament we're in the Champions League. We can win on Wednesday and... can still go out at the group stage, right?
Exactly. So. Well, depends what happens to Bayern. So if Everton was the biggest game this week and he started Mainoo there, then what's to say that he won't start Mainoo?
I don't think he'll start on Wednesday, but if he does, I've got full confidence in him just based on that game.
I just want to see him getting off the plane like Cantona in what, 94, collar up, walking through the airport.
Well, mask on.
Come on, who wants it? Kind of. I don't know if that's how he talks, but you know, we'll soon get used to his interviews, won't we?
Oh man, I'm not looking forward to it on Wednesday, I'll be honest. It's gonna be a rough ride. But the game itself, mate, Jake, again, you seem to be like the voice in my head when I think about football these days. That third goal, right?
Just football. And
just in general. In general. You do send me a lot of WhatsApps, but not a lot of it is talking, I'll be honest. but anyway, the game itself.
You might need to clarify that.
No, we'll say that for now. We'll say that. Do you remember Hollyoaks like after out? Was it Hollyoaks late?
Well, that's basically what. It is late somewhere. And most of your listeners, Sam.
It is. Yeah, well, we'll keep that for a rainy day. We'll keep that for the Euro Stories pod, right? There you go. But the second goal, what did you make of Bruno giving the penalty to Rashford? Because, I mean, it paid off, Rob. It was a risk.
Look, he could have gone horribly wrong. But ultimately, I think it's one of those where you trust your teammate. He obviously sees Rashford take penalties and he's got that confidence. And I think could have gone drastically wrong, but the trust, not only does it give Rashford a goal, it just shows Rashford that kind of trust that his own teammate and his captain's got in him. And I think that, more than the goal, will be worth something to him.
Because he obviously needs it. He's still in the game itself. He was kind of cutting a frustrated figure compared to Garnacho on the other side.
Yeah, he was. And I think probably we've spoken about Luke Shaw coming back into the team and how much that's going to potentially release Rashford. But I didn't really get Luke Shaw kind of bombing on, going forward, doing that. But obviously with his first game back, fitness, maybe the atmosphere, whatever it was, he didn't seem to offer that yesterday too much, which then means that Rashford's options are as they were the week before.
But yeah.
A goal, that trust, he goes and gets one at the weekend. You know, well, the weekend may really suit him depending on how Newcastle want to play. If we can get on the counter-attack against them, it might really suit him with some space in behind. But yeah, he's one of those players. He's a confidence player, and he's also one of those that when he gets on a roll, he's devastating.
His form's a bit of a mystery though, isn't it? He's such a weird player. Like when he went through that purple patch, and I know he's kind of been a player of purple patches over the years, but when he went through that purple patch, basically for the whole second half of last season, it looked like he just found that like bit of fitness, and he just looked a bit stronger and a bit quicker. He just sort of doesn't quite look like he can take on a man at the moment. And, you know, a couple of the Everton centre halves were outrunning him, beating into balls yesterday, which when he's at his best doesn't really happen. So I don't know, maybe the fact that he's suspended for, is it two games?
No, it's just one.
Just one. Or maybe the fact that you get a rest midweek will help him at the weekend.
Presumably he doesn't travel, right? He just stays at home.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Did you see the thing? He's back with his missus. Someone posted on Twitter the other day. Every time he gets back with this, it's the third time now, he goes through a run of goals. And then when they break up, he goes through a patch of no goals.
And he scored. And he's scored in his first
game. He scored through all her mates.
what did you make of Shaw's return then? Because I thought he looked pretty good.
Class.
I think
he missed him so
really
much.
Missed him.
Like, mate, Jake, you were talking there about like the overlaps from Shaw. You know, Ten Hag loves the kind of inverted fullback, the one dropping into midfield. I think that's probably more how Shaw is likely to play. Although, just on the left hand side, we had more, and he just, mate, he is one of the leaders in this team now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got to that age as well where he just kind of understands the game a bit more. So you could probably cut off certain attacks before they even start. And some of those things you don't actually see as a fan or someone who's watching the game, you know. And then I just felt there was a calmness in his play. There was a part in the second half where Everton was starting to really get on top, and we could have easily started to revert to just playing balls down the line, giving them the ball back, etc. And they just played a triangle, him, Rashford, and it might have been Bruno. And it just relieved the pressure. And sometimes you get a little bit edgy about it and you think, but none of our other players would have done that in that situation. We have missed him. He was really, really strong. And he provides that bit of pace on the cover as well. So if we are going to play someone like Maguire and Lindelof, two players that don't have that pace, he can tuck in as and when needed.
You've had a bit of a love-hate relationship with Shaw, haven't you, over the years?
I have, yeah. I've been more because, like, he's always had so much ability and he just never took risks. He was always that player. He would rather pass it back to Rashford, who can then cross or shoot, than go on the overlap himself and drive. And I never thought that he really made too much of his talent. I thought he was always, and it might have been the injuries, but he always played within himself. And he got our player of the season once just because he wasn't injured. And it really kind of left a sour taste in my mouth. But then in the last 2 years, yeah, I can't find fault in him.
Look at that. The hate's all gone.
Luke Shaw, if you're listening, I disagree with.
No, but he actually came out in an interview maybe 2 or 3 years ago when under Solskjaer, and he even said the exact words I'd been saying for years, saying, I wasn't as positive as I should have been. I didn't take risks. I didn't do that. And I was like, he finally understands like what I'm trying to say. You know, you look at.
Yeah, Jose probably beat the confidence out of him. Though,
remember that statement that when he had a good game and he said he was playing with Luke Shaw's body, but yeah. Jose's mind.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
all well, that mate?
If you look at some of the, so I look at Andy Robertson, for example, Shaw is a far better player naturally than him, but it's almost like Robertson's got this license to just put balls in the box. And if it doesn't come off, he just do it again and again and again until it comes off. And I always felt Luke Shaw was almost scared to make that mistake until the last couple of years where all of a sudden, bang, he was willing to drive.
He's so good in possession though, right? And Onana's going to really benefit from having him at left back. You know, a natural left footer who's also really good on the ball.
Onana is, I think he's tied first for clean sheets, second for percentage, save percentage. Like all the things that we thought Onana would be good at when he came in, like short passing, long distribution, he's been garbage at so far. But when it comes to like kind of shot stopping, when it comes to kind of being a goalkeeper since that penalty save against Copenhagen, I think he's progressively getting more confident.
It's like an episode of Scooby-Doo. You're just going to unzip him and it's Dave. He's like, hello.
Hello, surprise.
Hello, I have come back.
I'm under the water. that's what you sounded like.
Yeah, that was terrible.
He has actually, he has really improved. And again, another person I've been fairly critical of because some of the mistakes he was making were just basic goalkeeping. And like the one that goes underneath him at Bayern, that can happen as a goalkeeper. It's an absolute howler. But there's other ones where it's positional sense and just picking the ball up just seemed to be so woeful. But yeah, since probably, the penalty save, I thought he was at fault for Newcastle's first goal in the League Cup, just his positioning and his kind of, he just stopped basically rather than coming out. But since that point, he's been brilliant.
Well, yeah, I think Martinez is going to make the biggest of difference to him in terms of that playing out from the back because we're still not quite good. We were better because Mainu dropped between the two centre-backs and actually was that first phase builder, that progressor from deep, that ball carrier. You know, there was that one bit where Mainu received the ball between the two and he could have passed it back, could have gone left or right to Maguire or Lindelof, but he turned and went the other way and ran with
him. I love that.
We missed that so bad.
Just like put his foot on the ball, just like dare the defenders, right, which way are you going to go? And then just said, right, if you're going to try and block off the ball back to the goalie, I'm going to midfield.
That's what made him stand out so much. But yeah, I think I said at the start, man, with 2 points off Spurs, like the shock horror, right? Spurs getting injuries and suspensions, it affects the quality of their first team and all of a sudden they lose 3 in a row. I mean, who could possibly have predicted such things? We're 4 points off top four, 6 points off top, 15 from our last 18. Newcastle will be ahead of a test. I mean, they beat, Chelsea 4-1 at the weekend and their team's ravaged with injuries as well. So it's pretty impressive from them. And it's at 8 p.m. on a bloody Saturday night. It's a great kickoff time. But
yeah, I mean, ridiculous kickoff time.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
the United People's Podcast. Have your say on every game. Get in touch on social media.
But mate, Galatasaray, like, well, you're taking your swimming shorts, taking your sun cream. No, you're not. What was it, like 14 degrees?
No, mate.
No, it's raining.
I think get a good. Good, yeah. I feel better now.
It's like 50 mile an hour wind.
Else? Oh, 50 mile an hour wind. I also feel
we're
better.
Hoping we get diverted to southern Turkey so we can go to the beach.
Yeah.
I know.
But Chris, why have you brought your golf clubs?
Just in case.
Just to let the viewers and listeners know, Chris, you actually fly planes now, don't you? So why don't you just do that?
Yeah.
Just done. I'll take over. From here.
Have you got a little Cessna with like Chris? A
lot of refueling stops.
He's talking about one of the little ones that are outside Morrison's. You put 20p in. he got his knees up around his ears.
What's that? Have you seen him on that program? Was it called Come Outside?
Right, there's a prank where somebody, like, if you see someone, you see like a little kid who's sitting in one of those and a dad's next to it, you've got like awkwardly walking. You just put the pound in and then they've got to stand there and watch it, but you put the pound in. Apparently it's a good prank. I've not done it before.
I mean, the worst part of the Euro way is the flight back. Imagine having to fly the plane home.
Dan, do you remember the old... Well, the old little twisty machines, you put like 20p in your twist. The fake money used to work in that, yeah. And I got banned from the corner shop where I lived because I hustled.
Wow,
it.
Me too. You meant wow,
freely admitting that.
Come on, get it all out.
Back in the day, you could do it with a 5p and use the foil lining from this chewing gums. You know, the ones that Fergie used to have, the actual strips. I don't even know if you could buy them anymore. Like, you use the foil from that, tie it up,
juicy fruit
out.
I think me and Chris had quite a privileged fucking upbringing compared to you lot by the sounds of this.
Can't relate to that story then, but look, Galatasaray, would you change anything and what are you actually predicting from the game itself? Chris, I'll start with you.
Well, obviously Rashford's coming out because he's suspended. Isn't Maynard going to start? Is Amrabat going to come in? I think that's, I'm not sure if I would make that change, but I think that's what's going to happen. Otherwise, I would keep the...
Because, I mean, Haaland is going in the Champions League, but we don't know if he's 100% fit. Would you risk
it? I'd start him if he's able to play. I'd start him and try and get that goal in the first 20 minutes, quoting classic Mards, and see if he can get an hour out of him. But if he's not fit, then he's not fit. But yeah, he scored goals in the Champions League. I mean, Martial might be able to hold the ball up well, in Alex's words, but
I'm still
he did hold the ball up really well against Everton. He's so good in little tight spaces. He's actually looking pretty good at the minute. He is actually playing pretty well.
I mean, I wouldn't say that was a particularly impressive performance. I don't mean that in like...
Oh, come on. We weren't good. I think you're opening gambit in this, saying that we had a great performance. We've kind of
I didn't say we had a great performance. Like I said it was our best performance of the season in the league. And
second half was good.
After we scored the second, we were in total control. Between the first and the second, that was more Everton. But
I have
largely,
to say, I did like Martial's like nonchalant.
Oh, mate, that was great.
Like,
yeah.
That's a good, little, lovely little thing.
That's the annoying thing. Contract talks must be coming up because he's... <so,
laughs> 5-year deal.
This is what annoys every single one of us, is that he's got so much ability and we have seen it on occasion, on many occasions, especially in the early days. And every time he plays Everton. So if we just keep playing Everton, we'll be all right. But...
he's not the only number nine though in the team. Obviously last season he was the only option apart from Leggy
my G.
Now we've got now they can sort of rotate up there, the two of them, the two kind of spearheads,
them and Timo Werner.
Where did that come from?
Sky Sports, supposedly.
Yeah, he's absolute garbage.
There is going to be a serious list of interesting strikers. Was it Ryan was mentioning Ben Yedder? That's another one. What's Igalo doing these days?
Just being a G.
As I said the last time I was on the pod,
I think Rivaldo could be a shout.
What, for the signing or for the
20 minutes at the end of the game? Got obvious qualities. Holds the ball up. Overhead kick, as you mentioned earlier.
He's probably like 18 stone now.
Nothing wrong with that, Alex. Come and play in the Basingstoke Sunday League if he wants.
Hey, mate, you're the youngest man on the pod, so I don't know.
And the heaviest.
I love how Brazilians act after they retire. They just go, fuck it, mate, give me all the food. Give me everything.
Or they're like, yeah, right, pyramid scheme, let's do it.
What's your prediction for Galatasaray then? Because on the surface, I wouldn't put United down as... I have no idea what the betting odds are, actually. I'm guessing United aren't favourites. Let's have a look, actually.
I doubt they'll be favourites going into
the... What's your predictions then?
Galatasaray 0, Manchester United 2.
Strong. Very strong. Alex, what about you?
I reckon maybe Varane comes in at the back with Maguire. Maybe Wan-Bissaka comes in on the right back. And I think we're going to win. I said it earlier in the week. I think we're going to win both those games, Everton and Galatasaray.
Did you say that?
I think we're going to win 2-1. Yeah, I did.
Right,
yeah.
So the odds are we got Galatasaray 13-8, a draw is 11-4, and United are 29-20.
Yeah.
So it's not a heavy favourite. Chris, what do you think? What do you
want? I was going to go 2-1, but since Alex has claimed that already, I'll go with 3-2. I can't see us keeping a clean sheet.
I mean, what, we've got 4 clean sheets in a row in the league now, away from home.
Yeah, but our record in Europe...
No early goals. No early goals.
I think we've got to get an early goal, otherwise.
Even then, that just makes viewing terrible because we just like sit back and just absorb shot after shot after shot.
So you'd rather we didn't score first. You'd rather we just kind of went on it 0-0.
Yeah. 98th minute winner. Please.
Well, I mean, you won't see that. 1-0. You absolutely won't be seeing that.
No, well, oh, well, mate, they lock you in. They lock you in on about the 8th minute.
Oh, really?
There's no escape.
So you can't even sneak off in the 60th just to get away from the lock-in. You just got to accept it.
I've said I won't be doing that anyway.
Yeah, you said a lot of things.
I can feel the standing up hangover that you're going to get.
Oh, it's so bad, isn't it? It's so bad. It's Galatasaray, though. Like
the boozing all day.
One of them stadiums. It's one of those stadiums you've got to say you...
No, I get it. All day booze sesh followed by journey in 2 hours before kickoff, standing up, locked in. Oh.
No, we're not doing that though. We're not getting a taxi. The official transport. We're getting a cab.
Well, so you think you can break all the rules? You know how to navigate. You got the way in. Just get a cab.
I'm just gonna get.
Just take
taxi.
My own knives.
That's it.
We'll wrap it up there. We'll chat on Thursday. You two won't. When are you flying back? Thursday. When are you supposed to be flying back? I'll revert my statement. Pretty sure I'm hearing that flights are getting cancelled on Thursday, so beware. Watch out. All right.
Newcastle via Amsterdam.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard that's actually the safer route home.
Newcastle. Did you get the tickets, by the way? Did you get my Newcastle ticket that I posted?
Yeah, I've not got yours, Sam.
Have you not?
Oh, I've got one person's ticket.
Oh, it better be mine.
Were we all successful?
Mine's got a first class stamp in the top.
Were we all successful in the ballot?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell. Yeah, well, that's it. You can tell it's Newcastle in December then, because my first successful ballot in about fucking 4 years.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, honestly, typical. It's like an 18-hour drive to get up there.
Well, from Istanbul.
Well, yeah.
Just take it right here.
It's from Istanbul Mangled Kebab Shop on Kilburn High Road, yeah.
It sounds actually quite delightful, to be fair.
It is actually very good. It is very good.
Mate, have a great time. Enjoy yourselves and send me lots of videos. I want to enjoy it myself from afar. I'll vicariously go to Istanbul through you. All right. We'll speak to you next week.
Do not send any pictures of pints.
No pints.
Because that would not be nice.
Sorry, we were breaking up there. Did you say pictures of pints?
Name pictures.
Okay. I've noted it. I got... So I can't hit you.
Pints incoming.
Bastard.
We'll wrap it up now and we'll speak to you hopefully after we beat Galatasaray and then take the Champions League qualification to a home game against Bayern Munich. That'd be nice. But we'll find out. Take it easy.
This is a United People's TV and Listening Dog Media production.
Sports Social Podcast Network.